This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sexual Inclusion Network. I am Christiane Bella, and this is our first episode. I'm super excited. We are popping the cherry tonight on Wednesday, hump day, here, May 13th, 2020. This is a call-in show. I have always dreamed of doing this. I grew up with Dr. Ruth. I spent my teen years with Dr. Drew. So getting to actually have a live call-in show where people could call in with their stories and their questions and we can engage and connect, I am absolutely thrilled to be here to be doing this. So let me tell you a little bit about myself while we wait for some callers to come rolling in. I began doing sex education in my teens. I was the girl that everybody came to in high school to find out how to give blowjobs and all their sex questions, kinks and curiosities and queerdom and all of that. So it started for me as just a natural progression of life. It was just what I did. I always felt comfortable talking about sex, and years later, and this has become my profession. It evolved out of my yoga career. And through that, I began studying Kundalini, which is tied into the world of Tantra, and this idea of this energy that rises through your body, and becoming more familiar with Tantra and the essence of that, of, you know, things being taboo and kind of taking the taboo out of the equation and embracing the whole picture of things. And that evolved into me seeing, you know, more and more clients who were coming with all right. So I think we're good. Little technical difficulties. First episode. It seems like it just we'll continue on where we left off. Hopefully, all is well here. So once again, I'm Christiane Bella, and this is the Sexual Inclusion Network. Sin is in. Tonight we are just kind of each other and why I'm bringing this show to you. And it is a call-in show, so you can call us here at 319-527-6205, and we can take live callers circa old school style, like Dr. Ruth and Dr. Drew. Super excited about that. So I can't wait to get some callers in here so we can hang out and chat and share stories and answer questions. Free sexual advice to kids throughout my high school years. And started teaching yoga. Yoga led me to see how much our sexuality and shame was connected to so many things going on, and what a big impact it had, you know, on people's goals. Like, I would constantly encounter people who had these dreams about jobs and stuff they wanted to pursue, especially around creative stuff. You know, a lot of like writers and other artists, and they were just blocked, and it was like 9 times out of 10, you know, always tied back to some sort of sexual block, some kink they weren't exploring, some trauma that had happened to them, some piece of themselves that they were cutting off. And so healing that sexual energy and really connecting to their sexual bridge gap and created a lot of joy and passion, you know, in life in general. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I started Intimacy Architecture to build a life you love. And it brought it all together. It brought in the wellness aspect of yoga, nutrition, Ayurveda, which is like the sister science of yoga, and that looks at herbs and what we eat, and not just what we eat, but like really how we eat and when we eat and eating in season, all of these aspects of stuff. And I hear my phone alarm going off to remind me that it's time to do this show. So let's see if we can actually turn that off real quick. So yeah, the fun and joy of live stuff. Makes you wonder how people at like SNL and stuff do it. Like live is a whole nother beast. Anything can happen on live, which is it's living, breathing entity. So here we are, in living, breathing entity of Blog Talk Radio. I discovered Blog Talk Radio. I was a featured speaker at a conference, the ARC conference, which is focused around it's a big thing in Middle Tennessee, and it's focused around those with developmental disabilities, kind of like across the board, anything that would make going to work or living alone a little bit more of a challenge. And then they bridge that gap there. They really help facilitate housing and jobs and coaching and mentoring. And so I was very grateful to get to be invited to be a speaker at the ARC conference. And I was talking about sex and boundaries and how that plays in for those with developmental challenges. And one of the keynote speakers there was saying how he had a show on this thing called Block Talk Radio. And you could, you know, old school style, like a radio show, you could call in. And I thought, oh my God, this is fantastic. So I'm super excited to hop on and give it a whirl. I've been featured on many podcasts, and I love the idea of podcasting. I love storytelling in general, but what really drew me to this particular platform and format was the opportunity to interact with people. So I'm very excited. In the coming weeks, we'll be here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be here. I have some guests lined up that I'm excited to bring in. Next week, we're going to be talking about dating and astrology. I'm in talks with some other great sex health and sex educator folks from all over the world. That is, you know, again, the joy of having this resource, the wonders of the internet, which I think we're appreciating more than ever these days, is to be able to connect with so many different people in any place, really, and be able to really jump in and share with each other and help development and growth as a community and as individuals. I was in Los Angeles for a long time. I worked as a dominatrix for a period of time. I worked doing a lot of burlesque shows, producing burlesque shows. And then about 2014, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And that was a big piece of expanding my sexual wellness and education. I felt like it was super important to come here to the Bible Belt. And I have this thing about, you know, I'm here to unbuckle the Bible Belt. That really is my goal, to really undo a lot of the shame and the guilt that comes with the repression of religion. I myself was raised Catholic, and while I am actually a spiritual counselor, I am a chaplain, which is a non-denominational spiritual counselor. So I do believe greatly in spirituality, in the connection or you know, soul connection. I do also see, having grown up in a religious background and living in a city that is plagued, I guess, for lack of a better word, by religion, the impact that it has and the challenges that come with that, of people really being their true honest selves. So it's been really important for me to be here sharing what I do. And I've come across a lot of closeted gay men in the work that I do here, men who are married with kids, who are just miserable because their religion told them that being gay was a sin, and so they went and like repressed that, and here we are. It's interesting. I was watching the new show on Netflix, Hollywood, done by Ryan Murphy, and if you're into pop culture, you know Ryan Murphy also did Glee, which was pretty monumental at its time of really showing the high school approach of the reality of things, of showing like queer relationships in high school and talking about transgender and all of these like really, you know, relevant and important pieces, because I think it's so important for people to see themselves in pop culture. And I think up until that show, you know, there might have been like the sprinkle, like token gay BFF in something, but to really have like main characters and have, you know, these great character developments based around queer identities and gender fluidity. And so he did this show on Netflix right now. It's really great, Hollywood. And it essentially goes and kind of tells pieces of truth. You know, they talk about Rock Hudson, who was a gay man, one of the first celebrities to die of AIDS, but he lived in the closet his whole life. And so this show kind of told a version of the story. Spoiler alert, by the way, I apologize if anyone hasn't seen it yet, of how it could have been, and how I think, you know, in an ideal world, would have been great to have really seen. It was, you know, was in the 40s to have a gay actor come out and say, you know, this is who I am. And so it was really beautiful and very inspiring. And I feel like that's a big piece of what is missing here in the South, is this freedom to truly express who you genuinely are. And I think it leads to a lot of pain, you know, a lot of like internal suffering, not to mention, you know, the detriment to families down the line. And at the same time, you know, it's an interesting thought, because I was listening to an interview of Robert De Niro, and his father was gay. Also lived in the closet his whole life. And so, you know, on the one hand, you know, here you have Robert De Niro's father, who, had he not lived in the closet and married his mother and, you know, had Robert De Niro and created an environment where he really encouraged his son to explore art and to be himself and to do things that were daring and controversial at that time, which in Robert De Niro's case was interracial relationships. He, you know, a kid growing up in Brooklyn, dating an African-American woman in the 60s, that was like unheard of. But his father encouraged him to, you know, to be true to himself. And that's because he wasn't, you know, he didn't feel like he had that liberty. And it wasn't until, you know, decades, you know, long into Robert De Niro being an adult, and when his father was, you know, maybe some years from his deathbed, that he finally, you know, admitted that that he was gay and got to live a few years in peace. But yeah, it's a fascinating idea to really think about, you know, what comes of our challenges, what comes of, you know, the ways in which we create obstacles for ourselves, and also the importance of breaking down those barriers and creating pathways for freedom and for, you know, the opportunity to really be your most authentic you, which I believe is truly the key to lighting up the world and making everything a better place, is to be your most authentic self while doing no harm. And that's where I guess it gets tricky, you know, out here. I think a lot of people feel like it would be more harmful, at least, you know, the people I've come across who have come to me to seek help to try to figure out how to navigate these two worlds, the world in which, you know, they want to be this upstanding version of what they think society tells them they should be, and being their true self, which is queer in a repressed society. So it's a tricky spot to be in. I myself identify as queer. I remember my first encounter when I was probably like 12 years old, meeting these gay men, and they were awesome. They were so sweet. They just like, they were happy to answer questions, and they took me to Greenwich Village. And, you know, I got to kind of like see this other side of the world that I had only ever like heard about in whispers. You know, my father, I remember telling us that he had gay uncles and how important it was to him that, you know, if we were felt like we were gay, that we could come out to him, because he didn't want to see that, you know, perpetuation of the cycle of like repressing one's truth. And then in high school, moving to California and living in a pretty quiet town, a very, you know, cowboy-esque suburban town, Santa Clarita Valley. It was a very, it's definitely much more populated now, but when I was there in like the early 90s, it was a pretty repressed place. Oh, I have a caller. Here, let's take our caller and then we'll get back to that story. All right, here we go. Our first caller. Hello, you're live
Hello.
On the air. Hi, this is
Hello.
The Sexual Inclusion Network. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling. So, do you have a question or a story you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, you were talking about kinks and fetishes, and I wanted to know what the difference is.
That is a great question. Thank you so much for asking. So fetish is actually a really old term. It comes from like deep kind of spiritual religious roots. The idea was, you know, there were these symbolic things, often shops or things that people made, similar to like what we would have now as like a cross or something. And you believe, as many people still do today, that that item had power, and that power, like if you lost that totem, you kind of lost the power that went along with it. And so that evolved over centuries and centuries to become what we know now as a fetish in the regards of the sexual sense of there's something that you need in order to feel a certain way, in order to capture a certain feeling, versus a kink, which is, they are similar. It's kind of like, you know, all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. It's like two sides of a coin. So all kinks could be fetishes, but not all, you know, not all fetishes are kinks, kind of thing. So your kink then would be, I mean, anything can be a kink, anything that you kind of take and allow it to have a sexual energy or angle to it can become a kink. But the difference would be, do you feel like you need it? And that would be more of a fetish versus just enjoying the experience of it, which is more of a kink. So, you know, a fetish is something where you feel like it's kind of hard to get sexually aroused, or to feel like you had a complete sexual experience without that thing, versus a kink just, you know, being something you enjoy doing. And if it's not there, it's not there. You're still going to have fun, but, you know, it's like extra sprinkles. So that's kind of like the way to sort of distinguish between kink and a fetish. But yeah, I mean, anything can really be a kink. And again, you know, as long as you're doing no harm, all kinks are great. Like, absolutely explore your curiosity. Do you have a kink or a fetish yourself? Are you still with us, caller? Oh, the caller dropped. All right, well, that was cool. We got our first caller, so that's exciting. And yay. So yeah, glad we got to segue into that a little bit. So yeah, back to my story. So my coming out experience was pretty sucky. Like I said, I was in this really small town, and I was sent to a rehab in my teen years. Actually, I guess my first girl experience even predates that. There was a night with a girl. My friend and I had gone out and were a little intoxicated, and I connected with a girl who I really enjoyed. And she had a flip out the next day. So that was pretty sucky. And then my parents sent me to rehab. And it was all guys. There was one other girl in there, and her and I really hit it off. And we clicked and connected. Had a really hot moment with her. I used to work at the mall, and I worked at like a yogurt shop back. I mean, I guess frozen yogurt is still a thing, but it was like very popular then. And she came to visit me, and it was like prom season. And so we went to Hot Topic. I think there's still Hot Topics. They were like, you know, this cool spot where you went to like get all your like alternative punk gothy things that they didn't sell at Sears or whatever. So we were in the Hot Topic dressing room, and that was the first time I ever fingered a girl. I gave my first hand job in a Hot Topic dressing room to this gorgeous, leggy blonde with curly hair. She had the most awesome hair. She had hair like Carrie Bradshaw, like the old school Sex in the City kind of hair, like that big, like wild mane of curly hair. So her and I like dated-ish, I guess. I mean, I don't know that we ever officially said like you're my girlfriend, but we spent a great deal of time together, and then it did just sort of like fade off. I'm not really quite sure what happened. I mean, you know, teenage years. But yeah, so I remember like trying to come out as bisexual, because that was like the only terminology I really had at that point. And it was just a mess. It was just met with so much like shitty backlash. And so then I was just like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, forget I said that, like, and tried to just like play it off. And it wasn't until probably like my 20s, like my like early 20s, that I really started to own my sexual identity. And by that point, I had come to understand, you know, more about the sexual spectrum, and that bisexual didn't even really define it, because I was attracted to people. It really had nothing to do necessarily with like sexual gender. And, you know, and I was attracted to people who didn't really have a gender or who identified as trans. So that's where queer really became like the most comfortable for me. I felt like it kind of caught everything. It caught my kinky side. It caught, you know, the parts of me that had my own idea of gender spectrum, and what, you know, sexuality looked like, as well as my sexual attraction to people. So yeah, it felt even better than just, you know, say like pansexual was just to go with queer. So yes, here I am, a queer woman. And I enjoy my non-monogamous marriage. I am married, and we have an open marriage. So it is a pretty wonderful life that I get to live, and I'm very grateful. So the Sexual Inclusion Network, aka SIN, I did that on purpose. yeah, I really wanted to, you know, kind of take the sting out of sin, take the shame out of sin, and bring back this sense of identity, because the whole concept of sin was this idea of separation, that you would do something in your life that would somehow make you separate from all that is holy and divine and all that like kind of connects and unites us. And so I'm here to help you debunk that and strip that away and bring sin back in, like really realize that there is nothing that you can do that would separate you from the great glory of, you know, the wholeness of us as a humanity. So yeah, that is the premise of the show, Sexual Inclusion Network, to help you release your shame and really honor yourself and be your most authentic self. I am super excited to get to do this every week. I am absolutely thrilled. I love talking and sharing and telling stories, and I'm excited to hear your stories. So I look forward to future episodes with lots more call-in guests and lots of guest speakers and people that we're going to bring on. It's going to be fantastic. I thank you for listening and for sharing. You can follow me. I am Christy Ann, ChristiAnne, Sex Ed on Instagram. Christy Ann Bella on Facebook. You can also follow Intimacy Architecture There's a private group on Facebook that you can join. So there's lots of ways that you can get in touch with us here at the Sexual Inclusion Network. There will be a video of this episode posted on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Sexual Inclusion Network channel. So many great avenues and ways in which you can connect, share your stories, ask your questions, and be part of the Sexual Inclusion Network community. So thank you all again for being here tonight with us on our very first episode. Super exciting. Great way to pop the cherry. Thank you for being patient through our little technical hiccups here. I think overall it's been a really awesome start to a great adventure. So I am truly, truly honored. I am Christiane Bella, and this has been Sin Is In on the Sexual Inclusion Network. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.